get out, right? He went to the barracks, got drunk. She went, knocked on his door, came over there. No woman. Said, why didn't you call your little security blanket? The same woman you called. He was like, because you didn't say you were gone. I figured we were just fighting, right? So when we start unpacking our traumas up front, we're able to show up as better people in the marriage or actually move like we have some trauma. Does that make sense?
100%.
So like early on, I shared with my wife, we got to arguing. And I'm the type, Jessica, that wants to make up like ASAP. I'm more Bobby and Whitney except high level. Right. I want to get into the I want to get into the feelings right there outside the movies.
Yeah.
Can we do this in 3 minutes so we can move on? Right. Yeah. My wife, I need time. The more you come at me, the more you I need time to process this. Yes. Right. Well, we got into an argument. We were dating and it was like going on 2-3 days. Right. Now, while time is calming her down, time is amping me up. Right. I'm going nuts. Right. I was like, oh, I know who will call me back. I know I can get some conversation. This is driving me nuts. And so I said, look, we're going to have to find something in the middle. I know you need space, but I need to resolve things.
Yeah.
The longer I go without resolution, the more I'm unraveling.
Yes.
All right. And the more you go on with time, you may be coming together. This is not working for me. If we can have a set time that we can, the sun doesn't go down. It's not just about 24 hours. That's really about saying, if we can have a set time to talk about this, I can sit in the gap of negativity. I'm very resilient. I just need to know that we're going to have resolution about this tomorrow and I can focus.
Yeah.
But leaving it
open
contaminates my day.
Yeah.
Right through my day, I'm thinking about this. I'm like, oh, she still didn't call. This is the devil pushing me further and further.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to meet in that moment.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And the same thing, you know.
And to have a conversation about reconciliation.
Right, right. And so her delay was about trauma as well.
Yeah.
Right. So we're doing, so we have to find something that works for both of us. So I would say anyone watching this who's married that feels like, hey, these traumas keep coming up when we disagree. Why not address them? The best way to address trauma is to get distance from it. The only way to get distance from it is to be able to talk about it and to be able to heal from it so that you're not taking your trauma and transferring that onto your husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, or your family.
Mm.
All right. And then be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
So if I know certain things, see, we know certain things about one another, right? I'm not a tough guy by any stretch of the imagination of people watching this. I'm not.
Yeah.
But there is a point where once I'm done, right? And my wife will know that point, all right? Because I'm affable, I'm super gregarious,
yeah.
I'm a psychologist, I'm a minister. There's still another side that once it's done.
Decatur.
I don't even want to speak on that to even come out. But my wife will see it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And be able to say, hey, babe, let's go. I think we've debated enough. Or hey, babe. And so that's understanding. And it, of course, I'm saying, no, I'm good. I'm good. She's like, no, that look on your face, you're not fine. You're not good, right?
Yeah.
Or I could be getting into someone's business, right? Because I'm like, oh, for real, how'd that happen? She's trying to nudge me.
Because you're a psychologist.
No, but she's nudging me because she knows something about the couple I don't.
Oh.
No, she come to the retreat. No, I don't think it's a good time. No, you should come. We can do all these rates, man.
Is she tapping you on the side?
I'm like, baby. She's like, baby, they going through something. I'm like, oh, my bad. How do you miss that? Did you not miss?
Yeah.
I'm totally off. So what I'm saying is that, you know, being able to understand one another's shortcomings, but also deal with each other's traumas is necessary.
Yeah.
And it's actually, and it's going to sound weird. It's actually so liberating. So when I sit with couples, husband or wife or both, and they're able to talk about their traumas and they're able to cry. The strongest man is a vulnerable man.
Yeah.
I don't know if men have been taught that.
Yeah.
But a man that's able to say, this hurt me, is stronger than a man to say, it did not. Because he has to be a cover. But a man that's able to say it is like, look, that hurt me. I don't know if I trust women. If I can't trust my mom, how am I going to trust my wife?
That's a fact.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. What did mom do? All right. Well, how can you trust you? How is your wife different from your mom? Or how is your girlfriend different? You're going to have to clearly see that. What did mom do that made you disconnect and not trust? Why are you sabotaging relationships right when you get to the point of commitment? What is that about? Do you want to be driven by fear and trauma? Or you want to be led by courage and strength? Which one do you want?
Absolutely.
All right, courage and strength. Then you need the courage and strength to be able to talk about what happened, because your emotions are going to know. Once you get to that emotional moment, and marriage is about emotion, it's going to come back out. Same thing with, you know, women. What's going on? Why do you not want to listen to this brother? Because if I get so dependent upon him, all right, and then he takes advantage of it, and they all sound good at first. Everyone sounds good, right? And then he puts me in that vulnerable position. I swore to myself I would never do that again. You're talking about trauma, right? And I can't tell you how many psychologists that see couples end up referring them out to do separate trauma work. It's not the fact that you two are fighting. It's your trauma. Are we saying that?
And you aren't even hearing somebody clearly. Come on, the demons.
It was underneath the demons.
I talked about that on another episode. It's the demons. You aren't even hearing me from me. You're hearing things through a filter and then putting it on me. And you aren't even actually receiving what it is that I'm saying. Absolutely.
Temperaments. I mean, I'm just, you know, because I believe in being transparent for men. Then my gift is passion. No one has to amp me up. I'm gonna be good no matter what. I can be.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, on Hardly Initiated, we talk a lot about leveling up financially, mentally, and spiritually. But there is a reality that we have to face. Financial stress can affect us way more than we realize. It's not just about what's in your bank account. It's about the toll that money worries can take on your mental health and your relationship. In fact, at the start of 2026, roughly 88% of Americans reported feeling some form of financial stress. It brings on anxiety. It disrupts your sleep. And for many couples, it's one of the leading sources of conflict. I've realized that struggling with money or feeling overwhelmed by it doesn't mean that you failed. Sometimes it's about the beliefs we grew up with or just trying to figure it all out on our own. It's something important to remember that therapy isn't for financial advice. It's for managing stress, shame, or anxiety that comes with those financial hurdles. It helps you unpack your relationship with money and build healthier coping strategies so you don't feel alone in the process. What I appreciate about BetterHelp is that they make the process of finding support simple. They have over 30,000 therapists who are fully licensed in the United States and follow a strict code of conduct. When you sign up, you'll fill out a short questionnaire, and their therapist match commitment means that they do the work to find the right fit for your specific needs and goals. They've served over 6 million people globally, and if you ever feel like your match isn't quite right, you can switch to a different therapist at any time. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up now and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/heartlyinitiated. That's betterhelp.com/heartlyinitiated.
Sleepy and amp up and you know, be good to go. But I have to watch my facial expressions, mostly. And so what I do is I take supplements, I exercise. Exercise for me is a way to be able to be chill. And then even my clients know I can, people come to me because they want results quickly. All right. But how I handle them, handling them softly matters. Especially with men. No man wants to come to me and I judge him. Or I say, it has to be, okay, I understand. Either kind of work around the ego the same way as I get it. He had a lot of motion. He had a lot of different things. Things are different. How do you want to play this out? Okay, well, if that doesn't work, when would you change your mind about how you want to approach your wife? Now, I'm the psychologist, but they're not. That doesn't mean they agree, and nor should they. But it means your ability to be able to negotiate around that. But men, where have men and women been able to trust that? Like they see the podcast, like, no disrespect to Iyanla and Dr. Fields, but it's rough. It's a rough intervention. All right. But there are interventions that are actually softer. I don't mean soft, but they actually handle you as if this is sensitive. And so to be able to get distance from that, to be able to be a man that's able to say, I'm not sure. Like Victor Wembanyama is a great example. LeBron James is a great example. I used to work for the NBA for like 6 years. When they come out at the press conference, I'm embarrassed by the way I played. A leader's supposed to set the tone. When I came out, Victor Wembanyama said, I think I over-celebrated the last victory. And when I came in, I didn't set the tone for my team. And I apologize for that. And I'm going to do better. He's being vulnerable that I'm not great, I'm not Superman. Why? So that he can get on to the resolution. See, when you're vulnerable and you put it out, you have distance from it. It doesn't stay with you.
Yeah.
Right? You're a stronger man. Then you're able to problem solve. But when you act like something doesn't bother you, it affects your play because now you're out there trying to prove something.
That's so good.
I can just get it out and not when the ball comes in, they triple team me. Now I'm trying to prove to everyone that I'm the man when I can just say, hey, I failed.
Yeah.
I failed. And yeah. I'm sorry that I let the team down. This is going to be tough. I'm probably not going to do any interviews for this, but I just want to say this once.
Yeah.
And I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to learn from this. Yeah. Vulnerability.
Yeah. So you just shifted my mind to something when you mentioned the word demon. So I kind of want to talk about something from more of a spiritual realm, right?
Okay.
Because
okay.
Obviously, men, we are, as human beings, a tripod being, mind, body, and spirit. So since you work specifically with the mind from the psychology piece, but then also the spiritual realm in regards to being a minister. What holds, obviously, as children of God, we know what holds the most weight, right? But when somebody is trying to navigate life, sometimes it gets to a point, especially if somebody's in intense trauma or it's like, they're not able to pray. Some people have gone through some deep stuff where they are not able to pray and their mind just starts to overwhelm them with thoughts and all of those things. What is the balance and what are some practical ways in which people can navigate that?
Yeah. And that's why the load on ministers is so great. Like the burnout rate with ministers is at an all-time high because they're dealing with record number of mental health issues. This is why I feel like I'm equipped being in both worlds. Sometimes we over-spiritualize depression with psychotic features. All right, we'll say that's a demon. No, that's depression with psychotic features. Treat the depression, the thought disorder will go away. The people they think are after them, the paranoia will go away. There's also demons that have nothing to do with treatment, right? They both exist, and you have to be able to handle those. All right, so one, being able to know what's what. Right. So you have to be able to put on the right armor. Bringing in a psychologist who's not in the ministry for spiritual warfare is not going to be effective. Right. Having spiritual warfare over something that is medical is not going to be effective. You can pray over someone's broken leg. It's not gonna, I mean, Jesus can do anything. Jesus can heal. Let's just be practical. Miracles can happen. But if someone is bleeding out, you're not going to pray over them that the blood stops. You're going to send them to the ER. Right. So one, community. This is very interesting. Right. When you look at the Bible, the devil operates in isolation. So when we look at the 10 leprous men, isn't that interesting? 10 men were hanging together in pain. That's interesting. Right. Well, they had to. They were able to say, hey, you're in pain. I'm in pain. And then they cried out to God. So one, they were in community. That's the first thing. All right. Two, they cry out for help. They cry out for help. Right. And when they cry out for help, the right help comes, if that makes sense. And so what churches are doing is that they are employing more mental health practitioners who are also believers. They don't have to be ministers. I mean, we're talking about like 1-2%, right, that can also be able to recognize that, to surround the people who need that level of care, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times what we call our demons, a lot of times it's untreated mental health issues within a church. And then you have to get someone who's equipped to be able to speak to those demons. See, it's like in medicine, you have specialties. Someone may come to me with an eating disorder. Well, that's not, I'm not the best doc for you. I can stabilize you until we can get you into someone that specializes in that. Well, there are people with different ministry gifts, right? You're going to need to get gifts of someone that can actually exercise demons and then be able to have a system of care to be able to follow through, to be able to walk with you, to be able to have a place for those demons to go. You get what I'm saying?